Catching you up on local news, state health officials reported a slight drop in the number of COVID-19 hospitalizations in North Carolina, but that number remains near record highs, and the state did break a record for new cases in the last 24 hours, with more than 8,500 reported. With supplies of the vaccine still limited, State Health Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen today gave a more specific breakdown of how the vaccine will be distributed within each of those four phases that had already been announced. We are still in phase 1A, vaccinating healthcare workers on the front lines, as well as residents and staff in long-term care facilities. Next up after that, as we start phase 1B, will be anyone 75 years old and older, followed by other healthcare workers and frontline essential workers, and those will be broken down by age as well. The full breakdown is available online at a new state website, yourspotyourshot.com. NC.gov. Also today, Governor Roy Cooper appointed State House Minority Leader Darren Jackson to fill a vacant seat on the State Court of Appeals. Jackson is a Democrat. He'll take over for Republican Phil Berger Jr., who just won a seat on the state Supreme Court. State Court of Appeals also has a new chief judge. Donna Stroud was appointed by Supreme Court Chief Justice Sherry Beasley to take over that position. Linda McGee is stepping down. Staying in the courts, a local initiative called the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project launched last year with the goal of changing unjust bail practices in the local criminal justice system. Recently, the nonprofit released a new report showing significant gains in 2020. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with more on that.
Founded with the goals of helping those who need assistance paying their bail and preventing defendants from being held in jail for long periods before conviction, the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Group has quickly begun to better address such local shortcomings. Kimberly Brewer, who chairs the nonprofit, recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck about the group's efforts in 2020. She said when the organization began observing bail hearings, there were clear examples of people held in Orange County's detention center for pretrial hearings solely because of their financial status.
Basically, what we found was that a great number of people that were being held in jail were being held simply because they didn't have the resources to pay their bail. Mm-hmm. And this was having just a profound impact on poor people in our community and people of color. In fact, what we found was there's really a two different systems of justice in Orange County.
As part of Orange County Bail Bond Justice's initial step to address these inequities, the nonprofit released 14 recommendations for reform at the start of 2020. They included steps as simple as properly following bail and bond guidance put in place by the state and district, which Brewer said was inconsistently applied. Others included expanding the use of citations and individualizing conditions of release for detainees based on their ability to pay. In its most recent quarterly report, the nonprofit said there has been a 68% reduction in pretrial individuals entering the Orange County Detention Center from August through September compared to the previous year. The county government also reported a 55% drop in pretrial population from January. Brewer said this is partially due to local leaders who are in the criminal justice system refocusing their efforts to this cause.
And this is just very good news for the judicial system in Orange County. And we're very happy, not only about the results, but we're very thankful to the decision makers, the judges, the sheriffs, the police chiefs, the court officials who really rolled up their sleeves and made these reforms happen.
A recent example of change came in October when Superior Court Judge Alan Bedore approved the use of bail reform tools in the county's court system. The adopted policies allow magistrates to use a structured decision-making program to determine whether detainees should receive a bond or a written request to appear based on financial status. Bedore's decision also approved new policies to better address first-time failures to appear in court for individuals facing misdemeanor charges. In addition to these immediate reforms, one other part of 2020 led to the reduction in pretrial detainees, COVID-19. The pandemic has led to limited interactions within the Orange County Detention Center, its court system, and other aspects of the justice system in order to protect public health. Brewer said while the coronavirus caused some of the temporary changes for the pretrial process, the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project is aiming for some aspects of the changes to become permanently adopted.
One reason that we want to do a progress report now is to highlight the progress that's been made. But we also want to say we don't want to go back.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go back to the old way of doing business after the pandemic subsides. That's a really important message here for our community. We need to have accountability. We need to have appreciation, but we also need to have accountability going forward.
To learn more about the Orange County Bail Bond Justice Project, visit its website, ocbailbondjustice.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Friday is the start of the new year, and it's also the start of a new provision in state law. Beginning in 2021, if you are hired as a state employee or a public school teacher, you will not qualify for state health coverage when you retire. That new provision was enacted back in 2017 by the legislature, but it was set to begin this coming year. Back to COVID-19 news, Orange County's Health Department is finalizing plans for how to distribute the vaccine in the coming months. Different people in different priority groups, though. So how will you know when it's time for you to get vaccinated? I spoke about that recently with Orange County Health Director Quintana Stewart.
So for this very first group, 1A, we're working mainly through employers because they would have access to, you know, staff that qualify for this criteria. So early on, I would say groups 1A and 1B, we're working through employers and the long-term care facilities to really get a grasp of those lists. And so we're contacting folks and, you know, working with us. They're sending us the list of their people that they know meet criteria. And then we're trying to put them in a database and try to call and get appointments scheduled for them through the health department. And again, this will open up and it'll broaden as vaccine is available to other providers in the community.
And when it's our turn as individuals, where would we be able to go? Obviously, healthcare facilities, but where else?
Yep. So throughout the county, as we get more vaccine in and it's available, the health department, we will set up some mass vaccination clinics. Still working through logistics and, you know, finalizing MOUs. So I can't give those sites right now, but we will publicize that and we'll let folks know where to go. Sign up, you know, for their vaccination. So we will have these community, we call them pods, points of dispensing, and we'll spread out throughout the county. So, you know, we'll have some in central and then we'll have some in the southern part. And as we get staffing and volunteers, we'll look to take it up into the northern part as well.
That's Orange County Health Director Quintana Stewart. Other local officials are taking new steps to get information to residents, too, including in Carrboro, where the town has now begun installing neighborhood message centers with flyers for people who lack internet access. First one went up in a mobile home park this week. Time now for sports, brought to this hour by Franklin Street Realty. Tar Heel men's basketball back in action tonight, taking on Georgia Tech at 8 in Atlanta. Both teams looking for their first ACC win. We've got all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning with Countdown to Tip-Off. I'll be your host for that at 6:30. Yet another schedule change for UNC women's basketball announced today. The Tar Heels were set to play Louisville on New Year's Day. That was a hastily scheduled game after the Syracuse game on New Year's Eve got called off. The Louisville game got postponed on New Year's Day as well, but now that game has been rescheduled. Tar Heels will face Louisville on Tuesday the 5th at 2:30 p.m. ACC announcing that earlier today. UNC football, meanwhile, still gearing up for the Orange Bowl on Saturday. Some Tar Heels are continuing to rake in the individual honors. Linebacker Chaz Surratt has been named a first-team All-American by the Sporting News, and running back Javonte Williams was named to the second team. Both of them, though, are skipping the Orange Bowl to get ready for the NFL draft instead. And, of course, they're not the only ones. 97.9 The Hill's Avery Trendle has your Orange Bowl preview.
The dynamic running back tandem of Michael Carter and Javonte Williams will join receiver De'Ami Brown and linebacker Chaz Surratt in sitting out UNC's first major bowl appearance since 1950. All four players achieved All-American status for their efforts this season, becoming the first Tar Heels to do so since 2015. Quarterback Sam Howell will be without his top three weapons on offense against a motivated Texas A&M team angry after being the first team left out of the college football playoff. The UNC defense will also be without its captain, making this game into an uphill battle before it even starts. Head coach Mack Brown told reporters Monday that while he and many other people are disappointed these players won't be available, he fully supports their decisions.
Our job is to help all of these young players, whether they were recruited by Coach Fedora or brought in by us, and help them have better options when they get through with their playing career here. These four young guys have done that. We gave them options. We tried to educate them on what's out there for them. And then it's their job to make decisions that are best for them. That's no different than anybody else on our team.
This issue isn't unique to UNC, however, as a majority of the nation's top programs have to deal with this each year due to the amount of talent they possess. To win games at a high level, a team needs talent. Talented players are coveted by the NFL, where millions of potential dollars await. In the coming years, Brown hopes to have recruited enough talent where these draft decisions won't have as much effect on the field. With both Williams and Carter out, the running game will rely on players who mainly play special teams, like British Brooks, Josh Henderson, and Elijah Green. For positions with young talent, this presents a different opportunity. Sophomore linebacker Eugene Asante fits that mold as he gets a chance to show why the coaching staff has been so high on him by stepping into Surratt's shoes alongside Jeremiah Gimmel, a two-year starter trying to stay focused on the task at hand.
I feel like the bowl games are always a stepping stone for next year's team. And although we do have a lot of good players out, these players that are going to be playing in this game are going to be playing for us next year. Even though we have these players out, we're going in to compete, we're going in to win, and we're going in to improve for next year.
Howell's presence at quarterback should still allow the Tar Heels to move the ball on offense, while the talented group of wide receivers have the collective ability to cover for Brown's absence. It won't be easy against a team as good as Texas A&M, but the players that are playing for UNC feel like they have something still to prove, according to their head coach.
They know what we have to do to win, and they know that this is going to be a huge challenge, but they've also probably been a little offended that people are taken back that we've lost some players and they don't think there's good ones on the team. So they've got a little chip on their shoulder right now saying, you know, we still got some scholarship players here, man. Come on now. So that's a good thing for them.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Avery Trendle.
Kickoff time, 8 p.m. on Saturday. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning at 5 on Saturday with Inside Carolina Live.